Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. North Carolina's unemployment rate spiked to above 12% last month as businesses shuttered and workers were told to stay home to prevent the spread of the virus. The question now is, how will North Carolina's economy adapt and change after the virus crisis subsides? NC State University economist Mike Walden sees several trends emerging that include more telecommuting, less demand for commercial real estate, and some real benefits for small towns and rural areas. Professor Walden spoke this week to News and Views producer Clayton Henkel.
Well, Dr. Mike Walden, welcome back to News and Views.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Dr. Walden, a few years back, you authored a book titled North Carolina in the Connected Age, the Tar Heel State in 2050. And no one, including yourself, could have predicted that in 2020, we would be dealing with a pandemic and it would affect really every aspect of our lives.
It is. And economically, it's been very unusual. We've had pandemics in the country before, the 1917 to 1918. We had one that I lived through in the late 50s as a child that killed over 100,000 people in the country. And then there's one I recently learned in 1969. I lived through that. I didn't know it. But this is unusual in that direct measures have been taken by governments, mainly state government with federal backing, to try to limit death and infection and to make sure the healthcare system isn't overwhelmed by effectively saying we have to shut down a large part of the economy. We want people to go home, stay home. We don't want people to go to work. We want businesses to actually stop doing business because people congregate and they're in close contact with each other. So this has been very unusual. We've never, ever done that with a pandemic in our nation's history. Now, I can't find any example of this in any of the pandemics in other countries, too. But this has therefore caused a recession. We are now in a recession. We actually have numbers first quarter, and these were all given by the pandemic in late February, March, where the economy receded, shrunk. And we clearly know the economy shrinking down in the second quarter. I'm calling this the mandated recession because, actually, if you look at where the economy was the first year, it was very good. We had on the fund number 4%. We had a growing economy. We had wages rising. We had low inflation. So we didn't have any red flags here. And the pandemic hit, and in order to control that pandemic, we've had to effectively shut down, I would say, around a quarter to a third of the economy. So that's what makes this very, very different. The good news, if I can say any good news, is it should be short-lived. We should be past the worst of this in the second quarter and into the fall. We should be on the upswing, but it's going to take a while for us to get back.
Well, let's talk about some of the trends that you noted in a recent commentary, starting with medicine, that this virus crisis is going to change how we interact with our doctors. While telemedicine is relatively new for some people, it's proven to be very useful at a time that we want good care, but also want to avoid others who may be sick.
This has been talked about for a long time, and that this would be part of the future. And interestingly, my wife and I, shortly after there was a close down and people were told to stay home, a message from our healthcare providers saying that we're both over 65, saying that if we needed something, don't come to the office. We're not going to be there. That set up this telemedicine portal, and you communicated with us that way. And in fact, my wife has had a minor situation, medical situation, a couple weeks ago, and she used that and she sent pictures, et cetera, and it all worked out. But yeah, I think this is probably going to be the way of the future. Of course, the big change that people are seeing is teleworking, and some of us can continue to work. I am. People who can essentially do their work through a computer have been able to continue to work, and that's been discussed as something that we're going to see more of in the future. Now we're getting at a bigger pace of it. And I think most people think that we'll have more telecommuting, more teleworking, and that's going to have profound impacts. For example, office building, not as many office buildings, not as many of them may be needed. And then one of the others that I think is very, very interesting for North Carolina, and that is that some people, including myself, think that there might be an aversion developed by some people, some families, some businesses, to very large, heavily dense metropolitan areas, New York City being a prime example, because that's where the virus is spread very easily. We have another virus that occasionally do the same thing. And so we've already seen some accounts, again, coming out of New York City, where New York City is actually losing some businesses, losing some people, because they don't want to live in that kind of environment. That may help North Carolina. We have big metro areas, but not as dense as New York City. But it also may help some of our rural and small town areas. I just see people saying in the picture, you know, I don't want to be in a city. I want to be out. I don't want to have people on top of me. Let's move to a small town, a rural area. And especially if we could get high-speed internet into rural North Carolina, that could be a big boost.
Yeah, it's interesting. For years, we've talked about some of the challenges that rural North Carolina faces, particularly without migration. But this may be a case where there are people who are living in larger cities in states like New York, where they suddenly say, you know, small town North Carolina looks pretty good.
Yeah, and we have great small towns in North Carolina. They're lower cost of living. And I do think the key is to get high-speed internet into those rural areas. I think that will come. In fact, I think it'll come without laying cable. I think it'll probably come. There's been this. I'm not an expert on this, but I've read that we could be small, very, very small satellites that shoot down technology. But yeah, I think that could come. And I think actually North Carolina leaders are realizing that there may be an opportunity here post COVID-19 to really sell North Carolina. People are thinking they want to change. They want to move out of particularly that big Northeast corridor.
Well, let's pivot and talk a little bit about the economy. Between mid-March and mid-May, we saw more than 922,000 North Carolinians file for unemployment. As conditions begin to improve, how quickly are we likely to see those numbers go back down and people get back to work?
One of the downsides of this recovery is it's going to be, because we will recover from this, and I think we probably are at the worst part right now, but I think one of the downsides is we're not going to recover quickly. The average business, no business has been through anything like this. And as we do begin to reopen North Carolina, businesses are not going to have the level, the volume that they used to have. Even a restaurant has lost 50% capacity, or a retail store where you have to keep people distant, maybe you have to limit the number of people going in. So even when businesses come back fully, they're not going to have that same volume of sales and revenue. Therefore, they likely won't hire the same number of workers. Also, I think a lot of businesses, quite frankly, are going to look for ways to substitute automation. We want to try to move to technology to replace people. I think next year, 2021, even when we're in a recovery, we're still going to be looking at unemployment in North Carolina, probably double what it was before the pandemic. Before the pandemic, we were around 4%. We're probably at 8% in 2021.
So unemployment possibly at 8% next year. There are indeed so many challenges on the horizon. What will you be watching for in the coming weeks? And is there anything that gives you hope as you look into the future?
Well, we have on one side the health issues, on the other side the economic issues, and in some sense they're at loggerheads because the more you open up the economy, you worry about, well, is that going to cause the virus to become more rampant? So you've got to tread, you know, government officials like Governor Cooper, they have to weigh both of these. And that, it is a tough, tough call to make. And hopefully we're going to be able to do it on top that we'll get there. So I'm looking for this period that we're in right now to be the worst, and then things get a little brighter as we progressively get brighter as we move through the rest of the year.
Dr. Mike Walden is the William Neal Reynolds Distinguished Professor and Extension Economist at NC State University. Dr. Walden, thanks for being with us, and we look forward to talking with you again in the near future.
Please do. Thanks for playing.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news about COVID-19 at the State Department of Health and Human Services website, ncdhhs.gov. You can also check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. Please stay home and stay safe as best you can, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.